is anyway. I'm just joking. But it's good to be with you today. It's good to be back home. A lot of new faces, but many of you probably don't know me, but it's good to be with you. It's a special place. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time and thinking about even our times back in back when we was here. It seems short, but it's been quite a long time ago. But I thank you for the invitation, and it does always feel like home to me. When I left almost 22 years ago, Kurt told me that I always have my ice cream card to come back and eat with y'all, and I still remember that. And I feel very at home today. I have preached at several homecomings before, though, and I have discovered that it is one of the toughest times to preach. It is one of the toughest times to preach. There's a lot of activities. People's been cooking all morning long and a lot of things going on. And I found out the main thing is why it's so tough is because I stand between you and the dumplings. Amen? I do. That is a dangerous place. It is. I have discovered that. And they've already handicapped me. I started 30 minutes late. Now, some of your stomachs is growling already. It's 12 o'clock, but I thank you for allowing me to be with you today. I started this journey as she read this paper about the history. I was one of those back in 1990, 22 years ago, started this journey from here into the ministry, scared to death. And what a journey it has been. I have preached at Offerman for 10 years. I was in Brunswick at Pine Haven for exactly 11 years. May 2010, first Sunday in May, we started a new work called Golden Isles Baptist Church. And as I read the history, it made me appreciate the history so much more when I heard it read today, because we started Golden Isles Baptist history about a year and 4 months ago. And you remember those people that it's a lot of sacrifice to start a church. It's a lot of work and it's a lot of sacrifice. And we thank the Lord for letting us start this. And God has been so good to us in a great way. He has already provided for us 12 acres in the middle of five different subdivisions in primetime land and in Glenn County. They don't know it yet, but we're coming. Amen. We're coming. We're going to aggravate them. And I always tell people, I'm not going to let you go to hell without me bothering you. I'm just not going to let that happen. But it's good to be with you today. And I was just thinking here I think about, every time I think about Pleasant Hill, I think about revival. The greatest revival, and I tell everybody this everywhere I go, the greatest revival that I've ever been a part of was when she read them back in 1990, those five guys that God called out to preach. I believe that was a result of a revival taking place at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. The greatest part, we used to meet on Thursday nights and gather around the floor everywhere. And we would pray until we didn't have no timetable. We didn't have no time limit. But we saw God move in a great way, didn't he? We had it in our mind that we was going to build a kingdom here. God took and spread it out. So always remember from that revival, that of 1990, God has the arms of Pleasant Hill reaching out in many different areas and many different counties. That was a part of that revival. And I remember too, and I'm going to tell you today, dear friend, if you want revival to happen in your life, you're going to have to get on your face and ask for it. And pray for it. I've tried to duplicate that ever since, but it's hard to duplicate. It has to be in the heart of people who want it, who want it. And I thought about this. I hope this is a day to remember in my life and your life. I left here 22 years ago in revival, and I hope when we leave today, I am a revival and you still are too. Amen. I hope for that. It is an urgent day. It's ever a day that people ought to stand up and live for the Lord and show what God's word ought to be. It is now, isn't it? Because we see so many forsaking it. It's so easy going the other way. And we are the church. Amen? We're the church. We're to be the light on the hill, the salt of the earth. And that's why we're here today. And I have some words for you today. I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. I want to talk to you today about the keys to good success. The keys to good success. This also has a special meaning to me from this text. 2 weeks from now, on November the 4th, will be 22 years that Brother Darrell Walker preached from this text at my ordination. He preached from this text at my, he probably thought I forgot that, but I remember that. I was so scared that day, I remember everything. It's just a, it's a big thing. And from this text, and it talked to a young minister about how to have good success. And I know you have a great pastor and this is a loving church, but I'm telling you, we must stick to the Word of God. Amen? And in this passage, the Bible teaches us how to have good success. I want you to, let me pray before I even read this. Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be back in this wonderful place. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people. And as our brother said, it has been a foundation of truth and light, not only for this area, but to launch other men into different areas to share the gospel of Jesus. And we thank you for that. And we pray that you continue to make this a launching place for mission work and ministers going out and speaking to others, O Lord. Lord, we pray for revival. We pray for revival. We long for it. Even as the song says, let it rain, O Lord. We need a revival in America. We need a revival in Georgia. Lord, we need you, O God. And I pray today, Lord, that we leave changed. We leave changed today. Not just say that it was had a time to get together and eat, but we remember that day when our hearts was changed and our hearts was set afire again by your Spirit, O Lord. I pray that you do that. God, we thank you for your word. We know your word is the perfect guide for years in the past. It is for today, and it'll always be. And I pray today as we look at your guideline for how you tell us we're to have good success, God, I pray that you help us to follow these things. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread there upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, unto all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And listen to these words. For then, that word then is a prerequisite. That's just a big word to say, if you want this, you got to do this. If you want this, you got to do this. He says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I want to talk to you today about the keys to good success. In this text, Moses, the leader of Israel, has just died. And God has challenged a new leader, Joshua, to take over and lead the people where they had refused to go in the past. It's a daunting task. It's a daunting task, an overwhelming task. And I'm going to tell you something today, Pleasant Hill friends. It is a daunting task for us today to face a world as ungodly as it has become. And a United States that has become as godly as it has become. It is a daunting task. And we see that their forefathers didn't get to enjoy the promises that God had for them because they failed to face those tasks that was ahead of them. And you know what they did? Instead of taking on the task that was before them, they began to whine, they began to complain, they began to get afraid. And the Bible says, they wandered in the wilderness until they died. Listen to me carefully, dear friend. We don't want to wander in the wilderness, do we? We want to take on the task that God has before us. I thought about it. This man has just taken on a task, and he had a crowd that, dear friend, wasn't always a happy crowd, was they? It seemed like they complained at every problem. And I'm telling you, we are people who have many problems ahead, but we need to remember that our God is big. Our God is great. And in this passage, God tells Joshua, I'm not going to leave you alone in this daunting task. Remember now, he is fixed to face the same enemies that their forefathers failed to, I guess you'd say, conquer or trust God to believe. They're fixing to face swollen rivers. The giants are still there. The fortified cities are still there. The united enemies are still there. All those same things are still there. And I'm telling you, dear friend, there's more enemies today that we face than when I left 22 years ago. Far more enemies. I'll promise you, dear friend, the mindset of our country about God and even our communities about God is not the same. It has changed so much in the last 20 years. And people really don't care about God or the things of God. But I'm telling you, we're still the church, and we're still God's people. And we're the ones that's supposed to show them the way, aren't we? We're the ones that's supposed to be the light. And not let this world change us, but let us be a part to change the world. Joshua, God told him, I want you to take on this task. And I want you to do it now. I want you to do it now. He says, immediately, I want you to take this people over this Jordan. And God says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I think about this. There's no way that I could change the minds of an ungodly culture. But God tells us, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to be with you, he says. I'm going to go with you. And then he maps out for Joshua some keys for success. He says, Joshua, I've given you a daunting task. He says, but I'm going to tell you how to be successful and prosperous. And you notice that I put on the title, it's good success. Good success. I want you to look what it says in verse 8. Verse 8. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. I'm telling you, there's a difference. There's a lot of things that churches call success today is not success when you read it from the Bible. When you read it from the Bible. And, sometimes people measure success by the crowds. They measure success by how many programs. They measure success by how big the financial statement is. They measure success by how many activities going on. But Jesus himself, in the book of Revelation, spoke to two churches who, from everybody's point of view, saw that it was success, and Jesus criticized it. The Bible said he told Sardis, he said Sardis had a reputation that they lived, but Jesus says Sardis is dead. Sardis is dead. He looked at Laodicea, and everybody said about Laodicea, it is rich and increased with goods. But God looked at it and said, it is poor, naked, wretched, and blind, and lukewarm. So today, when I talk about success, I'm not talking about success as man sees success. I'm talking about what God sees as success. As God sees it, people say, well, you got to draw a crowd. Did you know, dear friend, you can draw a crowd if you offer free beer in a rock concert? Some of you get that in a minute. I'm not recommending that. Don't believe me that. And I'm not recommending that, but I'm telling you, you can't judge success by the crowds, by the numbers, but true success will come. Godly success. A church with a good foundation. A church that's doing God's work will come when we do what God says. And he says, Joshua, you need to do it my way. And then you'll have good success, the right kind of success. I want to talk to you about those things quickly today. I know those dumplings is getting cold. Stay with me closely today. First of all, if you're going to have good success, we need to remember that we must keep claiming his promises by faith. We must keep claiming his promises by faith. One of the first things God told Joshua when he gave him this new job that was overwhelming was that he told him, Joshua, this is a long-standing promise that I made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I made it to Moses, and I make it to you. And if you'll believe my promise and do what I said, I will be with you. Look at verse 2. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, that as you have that unto you, as I have said unto Moses. You know what God was telling Joshua? Joshua, you're going to have to believe my promise. I know there's all those giants are still there and all those enemies are still there. And there's so much of such an ungodly culture there. He says, but you're going to have to believe my promise. I made this promise to Abraham. I made this promise to Isaac and to Jacob. And I made it to Moses. But Moses is dead. He says, and I make it to you, that this land is going to be yours. It is going to be yours. The Bible teaches us, listen to this carefully, that the just live by faith. We don't live by faith in faith, but we live by faith in what? The promises of Almighty God. And God had made Joshua a promise. And I'm telling you, God has made us some wonderful promises to do to also. I think about the daunting task that we have of reaching this culture. Listen to me carefully. I'll be the first to tell you that I can't do it on my own, but God has made us some wonderful promises that if we'll keep trusting in Him. I thought about this. You know, as you look in the Bible, sometimes we think we come to a point where we've got it all figured out and that we can do everything ourselves. But I still learn that it takes just as much, if not more, faith to walk with the Lord every day and every day. And as long as you live in this life, God is going to keep on challenging you to trust Him, to believe in Him. Do you know that Abraham was called to offer his son Isaac? And you know when he was called to do that? In his last days. I don't believe he would have done it in his early days. He had not moved to that point, but he had moved to the point of faith and learned that you can walk with God and you can trust God and you can believe God to the point that he come to that point. If God wants me to take him, God will raise him up. God will raise him up. And let me put this in practical things today when I'm talking about we must keep on believing in the promises. Did you know that it's through the promise of Almighty God that we are assured of our salvation? You know, I talk about people talking about how I feel or how I, all this stuff. Listen to me carefully. You know what assures me of my salvation? Is that Almighty God made me a promise that if I would accept His only Son, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, I would be saved. Amen? Listen to me carefully. So many people are depending on so many other things, and they've forgotten. Listen, if I went by how I feel sometimes, I'd feel unsaved all the time. Amen. But I rest in the promise of God. And one day I saw myself as a sinner, and I asked Christ to be my Lord and Savior, and I am saved, as the song says, and I'm going to heaven one day. We trust in the promises of God. I guarantee you Satan will beat you to death, dear friend, in your Christian life if you don't look back at the cross and put faith in it every time he comes to you. Amen. You have to do that. We believe in the promise that we're saved through faith. We believe the promise that God will give us strength to minister. I started this journey about 22 years ago preaching, and I tried to talk God out of it. You can ask Brother Darrell. I showed up at his house and tried to get him to help me talk God out of it, but he wouldn't. He just sent me out. Sent me out. God will be with you, he says. God will be with you, he says. And you know what? Listen to me, friend. God has been with me, dear friend. I told them coming over here, my wife and my daughter, I says, I still can't picture myself preaching. I'm still overwhelmed by the task. Still overwhelmed by the task. But you know what? There's two things I know in this world. I know that Jesus saved me, and I know God called me to preach, and He's not let me down yet. We trust Him to minister. So many in the church say, I can't do it. Yes, you can, dear friend. God has given you promise to minister. Not only that, we talk about the ministry. He's promised that He would supply our needs. I've been pastoring the church now going on 23 years. And 23 years. And I've come to discover that we always need more, don't we? We always need more. We always need more. When you get this done, something... Trust me, you're going to need more. But I have discovered this also, that all those things that we really need, we trust God and he has met those needs, haven't he? I just thought about a while ago, you think you had it rough. In 1931, when this first group was starting this church, they was out chopping the wood. They couldn't go to Barnard's and buy it. Amen? They trusted that God would supply the need and given an acre. Man, given an acre of land. Man, they trusted that God would supply their needs if they be faithful. Man, listen, we trust God. And I thought about this. We trust him not only with that, supply our needs, to open up the windows of heaven if we give. You know, a lot of people still in church complaining about giving or tithing. Listen to me carefully. It is a promise from God that God will meet your needs and God will take care of you. He said he'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you can't receive. Remember, this is practical stuff. That if you want to be successful, you're going to have to trust his promise and do what he says and act by faith. And dear friend, he will help you. I thought about laboring in the harvest. People say people won't listen anymore. I'm not responsible for that. I am responsible for trusting God. And if I am to go and I'm to witness that he said he would go with me in power and that he would change people's life, you believe his promise. You believe his promise that his word doesn't go void. And I thought about this also. I still believe in the promise of revival, that it is possible. You know what? God made us a promise that if my people would humble themselves and if they would pray and they would seek my face, and listen to this, if my people would turn from their wicked ways, he said, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. We have all kind of people telling us the recipe for how our land ought to be healed today. But I'm telling you what, dear friend, there's not a politician that has a financial plan good enough to heal our land. They don't have a social plan good enough to heal our land. They don't have the health care plan good enough to heal our land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That's a promise from God. And God is waiting on us. God is waiting on us. That's why I said, I hope God changes our life today for the good. I hope he changes our life. He promised him that they would, if they would trust his promise. Listen to me carefully. You know what the option is? You know what the option is to not trusting God and believing his promises and acting upon it? It is what happened in the first generation before. They whined, they cried, they were punished, and they died, wandering in the wilderness. Listen to me carefully. If we don't learn to trust God's promises and by faith act upon them, we will become a whiny, cry group. Amen? Oh, the world's got too big. It's got too bad. Listen to me. The world's always been big, and the world's always been bad. But God is bigger than that. God, don't you forget that. And we ought to be those people that are assured in God's promises and not whine about it. Here's the next thing. Not only must we claim his promises by faith, we must see the need for his power with us. We must see the need for his power with us. I got to thinking about this. God had just given him a task that was too great for any man. And Joshua knew, God told Joshua, you can't do this on your own. And this is the good thing. We can't do this on our own. But the good thing is we don't have to. I remind my people sometimes when they get discouraged and they get down sometimes about the challenges ahead, I tell them this is not our cause. This is God's cause. This is God's people. This is God's purpose. And what God has called, God will empower and enable, won't he? He will do that. And don't you ever forget that we always need the Lord. Don't you look what it says in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand, he says, before thee, all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He says, you're going to have to trust me. You want me? You need me. And listen to this carefully. I like what Brother Ibe said right before I got up here. All these things are for God's glory. You have all you have today is because God did it. God did it. He did it through faithful people, but God did it. And that's what Joshua had to remember. He still had the cross, swollen rivers. He still had those giants in the land. And first thing, you got Jericho with those fortified walls, and you got all those United Kings. He says, I'm going to be with you. And he says, I'm not going to forsake you, and I'm going to be with you. It's always good for us to remember that. It is a sad day when Christians think they can do it by themselves. And many have tried. Many have tried. You don't want to do that. There's no way you can face the enemies that we have today by yourself. And the good thing is you don't have to. We had a study Wednesday night, and it has been on my heart ever since I've been talking about this. Did you know that even Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1 in post-resurrection form, speaking to his disciples, even those disciples which had been with him and had been trained by the greatest teacher and had seen the greatest miracles that you could imagine, it was Jesus that told him, you still need to wait until God's power enables you. You need God's power, he says. And I'm telling you, he's real today. He is powerful. They did overcome all those obstacles. They did. And I want to add this in. I think it's on the monitor there. How do you release God's power in your life? How do I get God working in my life? First thing, obedience. Obedience. You got to do what he says. The key to releasing God's power in this church is this church being obedient to the Lord. Following his word, being a witness to this world, living a pure life, obedience. I think about Joshua. Do you know the first thing Joshua had to do? Joshua had to pack up about 2.5 million people and head them towards a river that was overflowing its boundaries. He did. Why did he do that? He acted in obedience because God told him to. And I do believe, dear friend, if he had never headed towards that river, he never would have seen that river separate. If they never would have walked around the walls of Jericho, they never would have seen them fall. If they never would have challenged those giants and unifying kings, they never would have defeated them. Listen to me carefully. You must obey the Lord. If you want to see his power in your life individually and as a church, you must keep on obeying the Lord. Reliance. I said that before. You know what? This same group of people got in trouble about the second battle. They got in trouble. You know what happened when they come to Ai? They said, let's just send up 2,000 or 3,000 light work. We can take care of this. Listen to me carefully, dear friend. There is no light work in church work. Listen to me carefully. We have a great enemy, and anytime you begin to depend upon your skills, your training, your ability, your wisdom, you're going to be in trouble. We should always rely upon the Lord. Gladly. Lord, we need you. Also, purity. Purity. You know what God said in that same case about Achan? He says there's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. You know, I'm telling you this, dear friend, Pleasant Hill will not be a powerful church unless it is a pure church. You cannot, dear friend, live like this culture says you can live and be powerful as a church. You just can't do it. You cannot be a powerful Christian individually if your life is constantly filled with sin. You cannot be a church powerfully if your church is filled with sin. You got to deal with the sin. Purity. And then there's prayer. There's prayer. Man, with everything that you do, with all that you are, anytime you feel like there's a task you need to accomplish, man, you ought to get on your knees and get back on your face and say, God, we need you. We want you. We can't do it without you. That's where we ought to always be. Amen. Always praying to him with everything. So we must see the need for his power with his life. I'm going to do you like I do my people. I'm about there. Are you still with me? Amen? You still with me? Here's the next thing key to success. We must be strong and courageous. We must be strong and courageous. I got to looking at this, and do you know that God repeats this about 3 times in this text? Listen to what it says in verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto thee. Look what it says in verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then shalt have good success. Verse 9, but I command thee, be strong and of good courage. And I got to thinking about this. Why did God keep telling him, you need to be strong and of good courage? Because God knew he was going to have to be strong and of good courage. Now, if you lead 2.5 million people towards a river that's swollen, you better be strong and of good courage. If you try to convince 2.5 million people to walk around walls, they'll fall. You better be strong and of good courage. Listen to me carefully. Now, listen to what the words mean. There's so much in the meaning. The word strong there means to fasten up. It means to fortify, to prepare yourself for battle. Be valiant, to man up. Courage means strong or hardened or steadfast. It means resolute, not lack of fear, but strong even in the face of it. Listen to me carefully. He was fixing to face things that the normal person could not overcome. And I'm telling you, you have to be strong and courageous. That means to stand up. And I can say this honestly. Over 22.5, almost 23 years of preaching, the heartbreak of my life as a minister is to see Christians give up so easily. Amen? Is to give up so easily. Listen to me carefully. This is not some ball game score. This is not some financial plan that we get more money. What we do is the cause of Christ that determines whether people go to heaven or hell for eternity. It is a great cause. It is the most important cause in all the world. And I've seen all throughout my ministry that people give up so easily. I've seen people give up because of temperature control. That means it's too cold or too hot for them. I thought that'd get you going. I know that don't happen here, but trust me, it happens. I've seen people give up because you wouldn't haul them somewhere enough. You wouldn't develop a program just around them. Listen to me carefully. Don't give up. Don't give up. I thought about this week. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of spiritual wickednesses in high places. Man, we are in a warfare. We're in a warfare. And sometimes all Satan has to do is say, boo. Amen? And people are going, how are you going to challenge this world by that? I pray, dear friend, that you develop a mindset for your family's sake. If you give up on church, your children are going to grow up in an environment where they do not teach God. If you don't do it, if you don't teach them by faithfulness, I promise you the school's not going to do it. It's not their job. The government's not going to do it. It's not their job. You are to have your so kids, and you should be so strong that, dear friend, when one day when you send them off to college, that they're going to think that professor's crazy when he tries to tell them there is no God. Amen? And I promise you, if you send them off to one, they will tell them that. They will tell them that. Be strong. So much depends upon this. So much depends upon this. Don't give up because somebody didn't speak to you or do what you wanted to do. Listen to me. You ought to have been up looking for something you could do. Be strong. Don't give up. Aren't you glad as we read that history I thought about? Aren't you glad that that first generation was strong and courageous? Could you imagine people our generation today if they had to go through those same circumstances? You think you don't know what I'm talking about, preacher? Just turn the air conditioner off one day. We'll see how strong you are. Amen? And we'll see how. See what I'm talking about. God told him, you're going to have to be strong, man. You're going to have to be courageous. You're going to have to be steadfast. Don't you think that Satan's going to let this be an easy task? It starts in our life individually. He'll attack you individually. And I have to come to discover one of the worst things that hurts the church is that he attacks families. He attacks families, and he'll mess your family up, and he'll try to mess your family up so you won't go to church. Don't you do it. I always tell people it is always a wrong direction to walk away from God no matter what you're going through. Whether it's individually, whether it's your family, or whether it's in your church, there's never a good time to quit. Be strong. Be strong. I thought about As I read in history, we think about homecoming, past, those people were strong. But I think, as think about 50 years from now, I won't be here, but maybe they're gathered at Pleasant Hill and they're reading the history. And they look back to October 14th, 2012. And they look back and they say, what will they say about us? What will that people be able to say about us? Were they a strong group? Were they a strong group? When their president and their political advisor was saying it's all right to have same-sex marriages, was this group a strong group against that? When the world is saying it's all right to kill innocent babies, is this group going to be a strong group against that? Listen to me carefully. You're going to have to be strong. It is a culture that is continually moving more and more ungodly. It's not getting bad. It is bad, dear friend. And getting worse all the time. You're going to have to be strong and very courageous. Here's the one you've been looking for. Here's the last key. We must continue in His Word. We must continue in His Word. Look what He says. He says it twice, but I'll just read verse 8 for time's sake. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In this passage, he says, Joshua, if you're ever going to hope to be a prosperous man, and this is going to be a prosperous nation, he says, you're going to have to stick with my word. And I thought about, we got a presidential election coming up, and everybody has promised a good plan for our country to make it prosperous and successful. Remember, we're talking about good success. And I get to think about the weakness of men and the problems of not just financial, but health care and all. You know the story, all of them. And I talk about who in this world has a plan to make our country be prosperous and have good success. God does, don't He? Only God does. Only God does. And that is only found in His Word. It is found in His Word. You know what you're going to have to do? And I know that you believe in the Word of God, but listen to me carefully. You better affirm anew and afresh in your life that God's Word not is just a Word, but it is the Word. Because this culture does not appreciate it, does not accept it, and will, they can use the word relative. Listen to me. It's going to be relative, all right. You better line up this word or you're going to be in trouble. There's no way you can be prosperous individually and have good success if you abandon God's word. There's no way as a church that you can be prosperous and have good success if you abandon His word. And I know you're not going to do that. There's no way our country can continue to have good success if we abandon God's word. God told Joshua, you better read it. You better read it. Let me ask you this. This is a challenge today. Do you read God's word? Do you read His word? Read it with intent to listen to it. Do you teach it? Do you teach it? I've already said, listen to me carefully. If you don't teach your kids the word of God, this culture is not. They're going to attack it. You better teach it. Think upon it. He says you better meditate in it day and night. You know what that word literally means? It means to focus. 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 Every decision you're to make, you're to be focused on the Word of God. What does God's Word say about this? He is who determines, is this going to be okay? Focus back on the Word of God, and He'll tell you. Amen? Focus on it. Joshua's fixing to have to make. I thought about this. Could you imagine how many decisions Joshua was going to have to make continually as he faced this river, as he faced his walls, if he faced this enemy? And the same thing with you. You have to face decisions every day. And you better be focused on the Word of God to help you make. And then he says, you're to obey it. James says this, James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, not hearers only, but doers of the Word. He says, if you be hearers only, he says, and not doers of the word, he says, you are deceiving yourself. Self-deception. Are you willing to obey it? When God says to go, are you willing to go? When God says to live pure and keep your life pure, are you willing to do it? When God I'm still telling you, dear friend, God has the way. And God told Joshua, if you'll stay to this word, what did he say in verse 8? Look with it with me, and we're closing with this. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For what? Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's the prerequisite. You got to have this if you want to have that. So, if we claim his promises by faith, if we're relying upon his power, if we're strong and courageous, and if we continue in his word, God says, then I'll make you prosperous, and then I'll give you good success, the right kind. So I challenge you. I know you will, but I challenge you because there's so many battles, there's so many enemies. And I thought about this. The first generation failed, didn't they, in this challenge? They failed. The same obstacles was there, or even greater. And I thought about the generation of Pleasant Hill. Man, they stood up when it was time to build a church, didn't they? They stood up. Every generation has to make that decision whether they will do the things that bring good success. That bring good success, and I'm talking about in the name of God, and that's all that matters. Bring good success. You have a choice today. I have a choice today. Our country has a choice today to whether we will do those things that bring good success. Friend, I hope we make the right ones. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, it has been an honor to be in your house with your people, the place that you use, God, to give us a good foundation in you. We thank you for this church. We thank you for all the people. And God, we all know we faced a daunting task in our generation. But God, let us not be those one that whined and doubted and criticized and complained. But God, let us be that one that believed your promises, oh God, that knew that you would be with us, oh Lord. And Lord, God, we trusted in you and obeyed your word. Lord, may we leave a good legacy of the generation to come, that in our time, faced with the obstacles that we face, we chose to follow God. We chose to live for God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Abby.